Okay, I'm going to bring these cards out now. So
it's a bit of a lucky dip.
Hello. Oh, that's good. My name's John Ryan. Here is my one. It says, talk about a time when you prayed with for someone and saw an exciting result. Love. There's a lovely girl I met when I went to do nursing, and she's a Baptist, and she just did not believe in speaking in tongues or the Holy Spirit. And I was very, very patient. Anyway, she started coming around, and I was just in the car praying, and she was praying, and I was praying fervently in the Spirit. And next thing, I felt something really joyful inside my heart. I didn't know what it was. And I thought, oh, okay, I just got a touch from the Lord. And then a couple of days later, this lovely girl said to me, goes, Johnny, when you pray and speak in tongues, you know, what sort of happens? I said, oh, well, this is what goes on. You're speaking a language. All that goes, oh, that happened to me the other night when we were praying, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was really exciting. And that girl is my wife. Amen.
Oh, I'll pass it to your wife. Thank you.
No. Julianne Ryan. Mine says, share a testimony where God has been the comforter. Well, he is all the time, but I guess a lot recently for me, because I've been going through some really horrible health trials, and it's left me not being able to do much. And so there have been lots of times where I'm kind of stuck, my speech doesn't work and my body doesn't work, and there's not much you can do but call out to the Lord. And I really, really thank the Lord that I have the Holy Spirit, because he really is the comforter. And when you're in a really horrible trial, I don't know how people in the world deal with that, because I always thank the Lord that even on the outside, if I might not look happy or healthy, on the inside there's always this joy that can't be explained, and that's the comfort that the Holy Spirit gives us and gives me hope. Amen.
Hi, I'm Kim, for those who do not know me. I'm visiting from Melbourne. I got the steps of a good man, or ordered by the Lord. This year I decided to take up some study doing a pathology collection course, and I had something happen where I had to stop at the beginning half of the year, and then I've taken up the course again in the second half of the year. And after being in the labs and doing bloods on each other, the lecturers sort of, you know, were concerned about putting me on placement, and there were a lot of other things going on in outside of the course, and I just didn't know. You know, they sat me down and spoke to me, and in my previous working life, I remember having those conversations with people, and it was just like, oh my goodness, I've had these conversations with people. And I just ended up getting on my knees and just praying, and I actually read the scripture about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I just have this the most amazing peace, and I finished the course, and yeah, I can now jab a needle in your arm and take blood.
Yeah, I'm Angela Hardy. I got talk about a time when you had to be patient in waiting for an answer to prayer. And basically when Mark was very sick in England, we were stuck there, and I kept thinking, oh, he'll be out of hospital in a couple of weeks or 4 weeks or maybe 3 months or 5 months, and it went on and on and on and on. He was in hospital a total of 16 months, and I just couldn't see a way out. I couldn't see us getting home, and I just had to be patient. And eventually it all unfolded. We got back to Australia, which was pretty much a miracle. And now I look back and I think, I just can't believe we got out of it, because he was pretty much stuck. And I just had to be patient, and the Lord came through.
Okay, we'll go with Andy and we'll work our way forward. Let's get a feedback. back, but you're right.
No, it shouldn't do. Hi, I'm Andy. Mine is talk about a healing you have witnessed firsthand in yourself or someone else. For me, it's an interesting one because I was at an outreach many, many years ago at Mandurah, and at this outreach was an old lady, and the old lady had been crippled with arthritis, and she used to play the piano, and there was a piano in this hall, and she was like wishing she could play the piano. And someone prayed for her. I think it was Mike Swanson, but I can't be sure. And she was able to just get up and play the piano. Now, this was an amazing miracle. She acknowledged it was a miracle. And like all good miracles, she just walked out the door and never came back. But that doesn't make it of any less effect to, you know, those people that were there. And I was one of those people. And so it was probably 20 years ago or more. And I still remember that thing. Amen.
Sorry, I don't know your name. Did you have a testimony? Do you want to say who you are and what it says in the testimony?
Hi, I'm Trina, and my card says, tell us how you were saved and how you heard the gospel. Well, I was actually brought up in the Lord, and I heard the gospel just growing up, so, and I got the Holy Spirit a few months ago. And I was baptized a week after my pop's birthday, so that was good. And, yep, I'm really blessed to have grown up in the Lord. Amen.
Hi, I'm Rosie, and my message says, talk about a challenge you have had when preaching the gospel and how you overcame it. So when I came to the Lord, my family were very much against me being in the Lord, and they did everything they could to stop me coming. And my sister was in Perth at the time, and she was at uni, and I used to talk to her about the Lord. She was a little bit interested. And then my father found out that I was speaking to her about the church, and he was very angry with me and threatened me and all sorts of things. So I thought, oh, well, Lord, you'll have to do something here. If she's going to hear the word, you'll have to set up something else. And she left Perth at that time, and she went down to Bunbury, and she was working in some government department. And there was a sister who moved down from Perth, and she didn't know my maiden name, so she didn't... And she ended up working alongside my sister, and they were going to give blood one day. They were going to donate blood, and this particular sister thought, oh, good opportunity to witness to this lady that I'm working with. And she started witnessing to her, and my sister just riled up, like... And anyway, the sister came up to Perth, and she was giving a test to me and Morley, and I was speaking to her, and I said, oh, you might have met my sister down there. She works in the same department. And she told me about this occasion where she'd witnessed to my sister. And that was pretty amazing. But just further to that, my sister went my sister didn't do anything about it, but she was witnessed to. I mean, my dad forbade me to speak to her, but the Lord set up someone else to speak to her. So then my sister moved to England, and she was in hospital. She was having a 24-hour procedure in a ward in England. There were six other ladies in the ward, and there was another lady across the ward just crying. And my sister went over to comfort her. And turned out she was Australian, so they struck up conversation. And anyway, this particular lady was in the South London Fellowship, and the South London Fellowship probably only had 20 people. But this sister ended up witnessing to my sister again, you know, in London, big city. And yeah, praise the Lord. My sister still hasn't done anything about the Lord, but I think it's amazing how I was forbidden to speak to her, but the Lord set up all these other things for her to hear the word.
Hello. Oh, wow. This sounds really... Okay. It's weird hearing yourself back. I'm Laura from Morley, if you don't know me. Tell us about a time when you found an answer in the Word of God. I think the one that came to mind was when I was in high school in year 12, I had a lot of anxiety and I was really struggling, and I couldn't really explain what I was feeling to anyone in my life. Like, you know, I'd come home and I'd just burst into tears, but I couldn't tell anyone why I was crying, and I didn't really know why I was crying. And if I tried to explain it, I couldn't explain it. And I just was stuck in my head. And I was reading the Bible one day and having some prayer. And I read Psalm 18, verse 6, which is, I'm going to do a horrible misquotation. It's, I cried unto the Lord. No, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. It's pretty much, he just says, I cried unto the Lord and I cried unto my God, and he heard me out of his temple, even into his ear. I think that's it. And it just kind of really hit home that even though I couldn't explain what I was going through to anyone in my life, God was hearing me, and he was listening, and he was properly listening. He knew what was going on, and he was going to take care of it. And he did, so praise the Lord.
Hi, I'm Cecilia, and my message reads, share something that you did or started doing regularly that has been beneficial to your walk in the Lord. Example as tithing, morning prayer, street witnessing, attending a camp overseas, etc., whatever. And but what I've been doing the last 6 months or so, I've having to concentrate on the word trust. And so with my morning prayer, I have been putting a lot of focus and I have literally been putting my blinkers on in my mind and just getting rid of all the other thoughts and all the other things that would constantly want to distract me from focusing on my prayer. And so I would just continue to trust the Lord, and I would just keep looking at it, and I would just say, well, Lord, you walk before me every day. You have to really calm the situation that I'm in every day, and I have to completely and rely on you and trust you in everything that I do. And so that's been sort of a prayer, and that's been my walk and a focus in my walk for the last 6 months. And I just feel it's just been extremely beneficial and to my walk. And I just feel that, yeah, it's just becoming part of my prayer. It's becoming part of my life. And every situation that wants to just hammer me, I just sort of think, no, put my spiritual blinkers on, and I just continue to focus on that word trust. And yeah, the Lord gets me through each and every day, every week. And so when I get to camp, I just think, oh yeah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm with really wonderful spiritual people, and it's such such an edifying thing, and it's wonderful, it's good for my health. Amen.
I speak for both of us. Hello, my name's Paul Frost. My mission is to talk about a situation where God has blessed me at work. So I could talk about the fact that my work has always been a blessing, and I've always had great work, and I could talk about how I've been protected, but about three times. But the one that's probably a bit more interesting is about a month after I came to the Lord, you know, you're spirit-filled and baptized and you're really on fire. And there was this guy that I'd worked with for two or three years at this place, and we were in the control room, and it's just when Mount Pinatubo had erupted, and you know, in the Philippines there, and it was a big thing. And we were talking about it, and he said, oh, it's amazing the way that God has used this eruption, and he's put all this ash in the air, and it's going to counteract global warming and cool the place down. And I didn't even know that he was a believer or anything like that. And I said, oh, I didn't even know that you believed in God. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And it was like I'd hit him on the toe with a hammer. This guy just went completely ballistic in the middle of the control room, and he's shouting and screaming, and he's an inch from my face. And I was really confused. I was like, I didn't know what was going on, to be honest. But it was, you know, in hindsight, it was just a real lesson that this is a spiritual battle, and there's nothing natural about it, because the way that he responded was completely unnatural. So that's my story.
Hello, I'm Cassie, and mine says, tell us about a testimony you ever heard that inspires you. I was thinking about that, and there's like heaps here, but you know what? The one that really helped me was hearing the family that was healed from HIV. Because last year, when I was in the world, I did some silly things, and I had a blood test, and I got Hep C. And then I went back a week later, because the whole time I was thinking about this, like, this is a terrible thing. It's awful. It's yuck. It's bleh. And then as I'd think of things like that, I'd think of their testimony, and I'd go, you know what? God can do anything because he's boss. And you know what? If he can heal those guys of HIV, he can heal me. And then I went back a week later, and it came back negative. And then a couple of months, I was stupid again, and I went back and I had another blood test, and it came back, it showed up again. And then I said, oh, you know what? I'll just come back in 3 months' time, and that way I'll know if I positively have it, because I know the Lord's going to heal me. Hallelujah. And everybody's just looking at me and the doctors and that. And every time I said to them, oh, I got a healing from God. Well, the Lord healed me. They'd just go, oh, you're very healthy. Your body is really healthy. You have a good immune system. And I'm looking at them thinking, no, 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 no. Well, oh, really? Oh, yeah. Oh, hallelujah. But that would I'd always go, but come back to that. Praise the Lord. So I went back 3 months after and had another test, and it came back negative again. And so I said to him, so what's actually happening here? Because I didn't have no treatment, no tablets, no blood infusions or whatever. And my liver was, there was nothing wrong with it. And they just said, well, I think because you got it the first time, you have the antibodies in you and that comes up as maybe being a positive. And I was like, oh, okay. And all the time I'm thinking, it's okay. God's got my back. Hallelujah. Yeah, and praise the Lord. Do I do yours?
Yeah. Hi, my name's Liara and my card says, what is something in your life that changed when you were baptized and received the Holy Spirit? Well, I actually received the Holy Spirit at spring camp, and when I actually received the Holy Spirit, my voice changed and I didn't know whether to stop or not. And then my nana just said, keep on saying the same word, don't stop. So I just kept on saying it. And then we went to Perth, and then my nana told Pastor Tin that I was getting baptized. So then I got baptized, and they asked me questions, and I said yes. And then after they baptized me, they asked me to pray. So when I started praying, I felt really weird. And then, amen.
Do you have one that you would like to tell people?
My card says, I'm Lynn from Bunbury Fellowship. My card says, talk about a memorable, exciting time in your walk in the Lord. I've had lots. So that's a challenge in itself. Which one to pick? I suppose the one that came to mind first is the one I'll share with you. It was at this time of year, before camp, our two boys were given a job of pulling up a fence on the farm. We farm at Boyup Brook, for those that don't know me. Brian was 14 and Matthew was 16, and they had this fence to pull up, which was near the house, not too far away. And on the farm we've got two washouts where we dump old wire and that kind of thing. And Kevin was harvesting down the other end of the farm, and so he'd given the boys this job to pull down this old fence, and which they did do. And the rubbish they decided they'd take to the washout that was down the other end of the farm because it was further to drive and they liked driving. And so that was fine, they went down that way. But they decided, Matthew was driving, he decided to drive home on the road instead of through the paddocks, which was not allowed. And he got out onto the road, which was a gravel road, it was only a narrow track, and he was driving quite quickly and went to change gears and couldn't get the gear, it was a manual ute, he couldn't get the gear into where it should go, and he looked down to see what he was doing, and drifted off to the left, saw what was happening, overcorrected, and ended up hitting the water table on the other side and rolling the vehicle. It rolled twice. Both boys didn't have seat belts on. It was, the windows were half down. Both of them were thrown out through a half-open window onto the road, the direction the vehicle was rolling. The vehicle ended up with its on its wheels, with its nose facing right angles to the road, so into the bush. Where it had ridden, had rolled, there weren't any trees, just low scrubby stuff, but there were trees either side of where it stopped. where Brian was thrown and where Matthew were thrown, one ended up on the road, the other ended up on the edge of the bush near these trees. And if the vehicle had gone half a turn more, they would have been crushed underneath it. When we came to get the vehicle off the road after we'd dealt with the boys, there was an imprint of the handrail of the vehicle in the water table, and the actual vehicle had gone back the way that it actually rolled from, so that it there was nothing there to make that happen. It was the Lord's hand that did that. Otherwise, they would have both been crushed. They were about a kilometre from the house when that happened. They walked home. The first thing I knew about it was them yelling for me as they got near the house, and I knew there was something wrong. They arrived with blood and covered in gravel and dirt, and I couldn't tell how bad they were except for the fact that they were walking. Brian had severe pain in his neck. I got him to sit down and told him to start praying. Matthew, I put in the shower, and I had to leave them to go and get Kevin. Kevin being down the other end of the farm, and I told them both to pray. Both were spirit-filled. So I headed off down the other end of the farm in the only other vehicle we had, apart from the truck, which was down the paddock loading, being loaded with grain. When I got down to the paddock, Kevin was in the middle of it, and harvesting, you have the chaff that comes out of the header forms like windrows as you go around. And the most direct route to him was straight through this. And I was in Otorago at the time. Earlier that year, we'd gone up north and we'd bottomed out and lost a protective shield that was over the motor in the front. It was just one plate. Kevin hadn't bothered to put it back on. But as I roared through this stubble, and the chaff ended up being scooped up in around the engine as I went. And when I got to Kevin, he knew that something was wrong because of the way I was driving. He stopped the header, jumped out, and as I pulled up, he said to me, "I can smell smoke." And I knew that it was what had happened. I didn't wait for him. I just put it in reverse. The fire truck was on the other side of the paddock, and I was a fair distance away, probably from here to the turn off to Red Gum Road, away from the fire truck, and I just put it in reverse and headed that way, praying like mad as I went, because I knew if I didn't get to the fire truck, I'd light up the whole paddock, and this was the only vehicle we had left. And I didn't wait for Kevin. He was running after me. And when I got to the fire truck, we started the engine and started trying to wet things down and pull the straw out, which was black, but there was no fire. And so I grabbed Kevin, we went home, got the two boys, put them on mattresses in the back of the vehicle and went to Cogenup to emergency. We had rung them to tell them that we were coming in. This was before mobile phones, so there was no contact. We got in there, the doctor took one look and called the Royal Flying Doctor, which was down our way. They'd picked up a patient in Katanning. They diverted them to come to Cogenup. We went out to the airstrip. Normally they don't take passengers, but I was allowed on the plane with the two boys. We flew through to Perth through a storm, more prayer, landed in Perth, were taken into hospital. The hospital was so crowded with patients, there was huge queues. It was at the time when they were shutting wards down because of lack of staff, and they were putting patients in beds in corridors because they couldn't put them into rooms because they didn't have the staff. So these boys were separated at either end of emergency. They had called for x-rays. A doctor had looked at them. By this stage, Brian had been put in a full body brace and he had started vomiting blood. A lot of pain. He'd curled up into a fetal position. He was in so much pain. Matthew had broken nose and facial scrapes, etc., and they weren't sure about his internal injuries, but they were concerned about Brian. They couldn't take x-rays until about 2 a.m. This happened at about 1 p.m. I'd rung the pastors and they came down and had prayer with both boys. At that stage, Brian went off to sleep. And when the surgeon came in, the surgeon looked at Brian and said, "Oh, I think we'll just wait." And make a long story short, the next morning, both boys were discharged from hospital. I just praise the Lord that it doesn't matter how exciting your walk gets, he's always there and he's there to sort out whatever comes along.
Did you have one?
Hello. So my name's Yutaria. I'm from the Morley Fellowship. So my card is, tell us about a testimony you've heard that inspires you. And it's funny because it's, I don't want to be, you know, cliche or anything, but my mum's testimony is actually probably half the reason why I'm still in fellowship. Because it's actually quite funny because I'd thought that I'd never really had a testimony to give because I was brought up in the fellowship. So I'd always start off with mum's testimony. And it inspires me because, you know, she was taught to smoke at the age of 3. She was, you know, drinking, smoking at like 11, 12 and, you know, taking lots of drugs and swear. Every second word was a swear word. And she was with my dad who was 12 years older than her. So her life wasn't that great. And then she was witnessed to by my dad's sister, my auntie, and that kind of changed everything. And she was 19, I think it was, and she came to Perth with my dad and ended up trying for the spirit, and they both got it. And then my dad wanted the world, so my mum said, "Well, either divorce me or you stay in fellowship and we, you know, be together." And my dad chose the world, and my mum chose God. And he just completely changed her life around, and, you know, not swearing anymore. You know, it took her a year to quit smoking. And she asked the Lord, I think it was a day before she asked the Lord that her first year in the Lord that she'd quit smoking. So before she turned 1 in the Lord, she wanted to not smoke anymore. And there was a prayer and fast, and she prayed. And I think day before she'd gotten the spirit, the year before, he'd taken smoking away from her. And that made the hairs on her neck stand up. So I think it inspires me because she had 4 kids and she chose the Lord every time. And you know, leaving my dad, and, you know, she loved him. And it just, you know, she also says that he gave the Lord, when she got the spirit, she got this peace and this joy that she'd never had in her entire life. And I just think that if she hadn't have chosen the Lord and she chose my dad, I probably be worse off. I don't think I grew up knowing the truth, and I don't think I would have grown up with the spirit and with the peace and the joy that my mum gotten. Yeah, so that's a testimony that inspires me and actually keeps me going.
Hi, I'm David Bauer from the Bunbury Fellowship, Western Australia. Better say that, seems real going on here. Yeah, I'd like to praise the Lord. Some relations of mine witnessed to me, and I was going to the Anglican Church at the time, which was fairly dead, and we just went because we thought it was the right thing to do. But they told us about the miracles and there's proof to be had, so we went along to find out. And the wife and I at the time, we liked what we heard and saw. And got baptised, filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. Wife passed away not long afterwards. And, yeah, it was a fairly devastating time. And I used to sort of bury my head a bit in the Bible and think of what Job went through and so forth. And how he stuck by the Lord and pressed in, praised the Lord, and came out the other end rejoicing. And the Lord blessed me with another wonderful wife, and carrying on happily ever after. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Diana Bauer from the Bunbury Revival Fellowship in WA. My favourite miracle in the Bible is Lazarus, because it teaches you that our ways, God's ways are higher than our ways, and how he left Lazarus, in the state for 4 days and put off coming when Mary and Martha asked him to come. And it shows that, things don't always work the way that we think they should, and we don't always get our healings when we should. But the Lord knows the right time for everything. And, of course, he came and he raised Lazarus up, and that was a mighty miracle. And I thank the Lord. It's a great inspiration that no matter how long it takes to get a healing, we know that he has promised in his word that he is true and he will abide by his word, and we know that he'll honour his word and he'll always come through.
All right. I think that got everyone. Great testimonies there. And actually, I did jokingly say, let's have a games night today. We just played the testimony game, so there was the games night.